Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to the PHNX Suns VIP Lounge, brought to you by our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Today, the Phoenix Suns defeat the Detroit Pistons 135-108. And joining me to talk about it, of course, is Espo and Gerald Bourguet. Gentlemen, how you feeling after today's glorious win?
Oh, that jazz music hits a little different on a Sunday morning.
It really
love
does.
It. Love it. That, it was so much fun. I grew up Catholic, and I used to dread getting up on Sunday mornings, right? This was the most fun I've had getting up early on a Sunday morning in a very long time.
I'm Catholic. I didn't dread getting up on Sunday mornings, but I still had a great time today, too. So that's good. Although, I will say it was a I don't want to say bittersweet, but there is one thing that we will need to keep our eye on moving forward. But other than that, really great win all around.
I love that, Gerald, just throwing me under the bus right away. Hey, look, I'm the thought of sitting still for an hour for anything as a child was it was a maddening idea. That was the point. So
that's fair.
Well, it is, like I said, a 135-108 win in the first night day of a back-to-back for the Phoenix Suns, a good way to start a pair of back-to-backs for them. We know they're going down to San Antonio this afternoon to play the Spurs tomorrow night. They were able to get some of their starters out pretty early in this one and give those guys a little bit of rest. Just your initial thoughts on tonight's game, guys.
Well, look, we said in the pregame, there's no such thing as a bad Devin Booker, but when you get a great Devin Booker, that's something special. And we got a great Devin Booker today. I mean, he played spectacular, wound up shooting, finishing 11 of 18 with 30 points. But in that third quarter, he was also getting guys involved, got JaVale McGee involved on some nice passes. He did a little of everything. And then that sweet, sweet putback dunk. We'll talk about it. But that was special. That was next level special. And he proved that Devin Booker is the best shooting guard in the NBA because the Phoenix Suns are the best team in the NBA. Had to get it out of the way early.
He did. He did. No, that was a really good game from Devin Booker. And he shot like 2 for 7 in the third. But when you go 9 for 11 in the first half, I don't really care about what you do in the third. He was trash talking, tip slamming, hitting shots from all over the floor, playing really good aggressive defense, and like Espo said, facilitating, doing a little bit of everything. Great game for him. Also, really nice game for two bench guys, JaVale McGee, who's also a Michigan native, and then Cam Payne, who we've been talking about. He's starting to kind of get it back a little bit. So that was really good to see as well.
All right, guys, let's start by heading to the bar to get some drinks to celebrate this one.
The only thing you can have on a Sunday morning when JaVale has a big game is, of course, a McGee mimosa. I've never seen a mimosa look like that or served in a glass like that, but we'll roll with it. It is a mimosa on this Sunday morning for JaVale McGee.
That's a McGee mimosa. It's a specialty, Espo. That's why it's served in that glass, because it lets you know this is an upscale establishment.
We've never been accused of being an upscale establishment. That is a first. So,
well, there's a first for everything. May as well be today, right? Why not? Yeah, all right. So let's dive into the first quarter. Obviously, both of these teams came out shooting the ball exceptionally well. At the end of the first quarter, Detroit had shot 71% from the field, and the Suns had shot 80% from the field. Some big time shot making there in that quarter. What did you guys like about how the Suns started this one?
They just came out aggressive, and that's what you wanted to see. You look back, and we mentioned a little bit in the pregame show that Boston game where they started early on the East Coast and they kind of came out flat. they came out in the first quarter against this Detroit team and basically made it very clear that they were here to play. They were going to push these guys around and get whatever shot that they wanted. And that's exactly what you need in a first quarter in a game like this, is when you have these young teams, that are looking to make a statement. Lindsay, you compared them to Suns teams of yesteryear where they're not good, but they will get up for some of the bigger games. You kind of break a spirit, you break a will when you come out shooting like that in the first quarter.
Yeah, I thought obviously they were shooting the ball really well, and I think they kind of needed to because the Pistons were as well. And I don't think it was a case of the Suns' defense not being up to par to start this game. I think Detroit just came out and they hit some pretty tough shots. And then as the game went on, that kind of equaled out for Detroit, but their defense wasn't able to stop the Suns' offense. And that's how they blew it open. I think Book, we see this so often from him, where if he gets going early in a first quarter, like it just sets the tone for the Suns' offense as a whole. He had 15 in the first quarter, I think 6 of 7 shooting. He just came out aggressive and he was hitting some really tough shots. Like that dude, when he gets cooking, is impossible to stop. So great way to start the game, great foot to get the game off on, and the Suns just kind of took it home from there.
Yeah, Book was in full Armani mode in that first quarter, and you knew we were getting a special game out of him, and I love that when he has that attitude. I mean, I believe, Gerald, you retweeted this, but somebody said that Book was telling people in the Detroit crowd, this is my city. And yeah. when you're doing that on the opponent's court, you know you're feeling it that day. I love that Devin Booker has embraced this. This is who I am. I'm going to get hot. I'm going to tell you why I am who I am and how I'm dominating you all at the same time.
Unfortunately, though, towards the end of the first quarter, DeAndre Ayton asked Monty Williams to take him out of the game. I think it was about 4 minutes or so left in that first quarter. And then that brings us to the second quarter, where we got the news from the Suns that DeAndre Ayton was not going to return to the game because he had suffered an ankle sprain. Did you guys see when that happened? Was it on Devin's shoe?
Yeah, it was near the end of the first quarter. There was a ball handler in front of him dribbling around, and he kind of took a step backward and stepped on Devin Booker's foot, kind of rolled his ankle a little bit. Heard from Monty very briefly before we started the show, and he didn't really have an update. He said he saw the play, but we'll get an update from the Suns probably tomorrow or later this evening at some point. But hopefully it's not serious. It's not a great sign that they ruled him out that quickly. But again, when you're the best team in the NBA and you have a backup like JaVale McGee, you can, like we talked about with Cam in the pregame show, you can err on the side of caution a little bit more. So hopefully that's just what this is and it's not something more serious.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor and I'm not going to play one on this postgame show, and I didn't go to college for 8 years. It was like 5.5 or something, but it did look like that, similar to Cam's, where it was a slight roll, probably one of those things that, we've all had it where, where you step, it's that shooting pain. He knew I got to come out right now. And hopefully in a couple of days, he'll be fine. I'm hoping maybe Thursday, if it's not too serious, we can see him back. But like they've done with Cam, better to err on the side of caution. And this is why that James Jones made sure that they had backups at this position. You've got JaVale. They brought in Bismack. Obviously, Jalen Smith can play minutes there. So I think that is probably what we'll see, is give him as much rest as he needs and roll with that.
Man, I just feel so bad for DeAndre. Like, first it's the flu, and he lost what did they say? He lost 12 pounds. Then he gets COVID. He's out for a few weeks from that. And then now he's got an ankle sprain. Like, this poor guy cannot catch a break. Like, at some point in time, somebody just needs to, like, do some cleansing, something to rid DeAndre of all the ailments, because I want to see him out there playing. Like, this sucks.
Gerald, if we sneak some sage or crystals into your work bag, will you bring it into the facility and help us out?
What a healing crystal in his locker. Like, poor guy.
I'll do my best once we're in person again. We haven't been able to go to a practice in a while. Maybe that's what it is. But yeah, no, it's rough for DA. And especially if you look at the Suns as a whole, because we've been talking about this, they've had guys in and out of the lineup these last few weeks. The last three games or so, it feels like they finally started to find themselves again. And of course, you know, DA sprains his ankle in this game, right when everybody, almost everybody's healthy, everybody's back, they're getting into a groove again. So hopefully it's not serious and not the type of thing that'll keep him out for more than one or two games. But yeah, it's just unfortunate. They should be able to kind of roll with it a little bit, especially if JaVale McGee plays like he did today. But it just sucks because he, you know, like you said, he had the lower leg contusion, he had, you know, COVID, all these different things that have held him out on and off throughout the year. And I feel like he's putting together his best season if he can just stay out there. So hopefully this is just a minor bump in the road.
Yeah. But when you have a lot of minor bumps in the road, eventually it all kind of adds up to major time missed, which is the unfortunate part here. It's not like a few years ago where it was 25 games all at once or anything, but we're starting to see these games add up for DA, and it's just unfortunate. Before we move on in the game, can I touch on something that's going on in the chat?
Sure.
We've got a lot of beanie talk going on in the chat. We've got Bees saying beanie mode is officially a thing. Brian saying beanie plus ratio equals Armani mode. And God saying beanie magic in full effect. Do we have any analytics on the beanie? Do we know, like, Chris saying beanie mode, beanie and Armani mode? Like, do we have any analytics on how they've played when the beanie makes an appearance? I need the record. We need to figure this out. And if it's the case, you are only that you're undefeated, you are only allowed to wear beanies on the show anymore.
Listen, any excuse I can add into my book for why I want to wear beanies all the time, I will gladly take it. We know it at least has two wins under its hat. So Friday and today. We
no
got two in a row. Yeah. So we know for sure, at least there's two in there. But I, like I said, any excuse that I can have to wear beanies more often, I will gladly take it.
It's going to be 115 degree weather.
I will still
like
wear
June,
it.
And she's going to be wearing a beanie in the finals. I'm here for it.
100%.
I'm going to throw this out to the Cove Crazies. If somebody goes back and compiles the stats on Beanie Watch here, I will give a free PHNX Sun shirt to them. Hit me up. I will out of my own pocket, I will get you a PHNX Sun shirt, because we need to know if this is a thing or if the Cove Crazies are just overblowing the hat there. But I'm glad that people are loving the Armani mode. This was something that came up last playoffs. I'm a passionate about going with Armani mode. I'm glad you guys are liking that too. But beanie mode might become a thing.
I like it. I'm here for it. I think it's a thing. I'm going to go so ahead and say I think it's a thing.
So they got to check the pregame tape then, right? That's what we're basing this on, pregame
tape?
Yeah,
I want pregame tape checked. None of this. Oh, I watched the postgame and there was a beanie and they won. No, because that could be fudge. You don't know. I want to know pregame if it makes an appearance. Otherwise, this is not some record, all right? Well, because we could say my orange glasses, we could say Gerald looking like Pete Davidson. There could be a million things. It could be the Switchfoot shirt that Gerald's wearing. I don't know. We just need to get to the bottom of it.
If I wore it in pregame, I definitely wore it in postgame, because it doesn't help your hair look better after you take it off. So if it was
all I know is I look like a part of anatomy that nobody should look like on camera if I wear a beanie. So that you will never see me wear a beanie on this show.
Okay, and with that one, we're going to move right on along, because we're still in the second quarter. And in that second quarter, we really started to see a lot from Campaign. He's starting to put together some really good games now. Maybe he's starting to feel back to his regular self again. At the half, he had 12 points off the bench, and then he finished with
25-5.
Thank you. I was like, where is Campaign?
Since Saul's not here, I'll do it. Cam, there you go, just for you guys. That was my Saul impersonation.
Oh man, we're getting impersonations back and forth. Is this what happens when I'm
back
not
to
on
bad
the show?
Game.
Has someone ever impersonated me?
No, but now I will, Jared. Yeah. Now
okay.
But yeah, what do you guys like about what you saw from Campaign's play tonight or today?
It just seems like he's more confident, more comfortable. He's not pressing as much, because we've talked about this, and it was something I wrote about when I wrote about campaign last week, was that it felt like he was trying to do too much. You know, he's driving to the basket 100 miles an hour, trying to get these nifty trick shot layups in over, you know, taller defenders, and it just wasn't working. He was also missing a lot of his wide open threes. Today, I thought he was a lot better at kind of probing, and Monty had mentioned this the other day, that they've talked to him about, you know, not trying to force it as much, trying to either find open shooters, look for JaVale McGee on the rolls, since that's usually the big that he's playing with. And he just shot the ball well today. You know, he shot 8 for 12. He made 3 of his 6 3-pointers. That's kind of the campaign that the Suns got last year for the most part. So it's 1 or 2 games, maybe 3, that he's started to string together a little momentum. So this is good news for them moving forward if it can continue.
Yeah, aggressive but efficient. And that's what Cam was last year. That's what we loved about him, was he would get to the hoop. He'd hit these shots, but he did it with that aggressiveness that he had earlier in the season. But for some reason, he just wasn't finishing. This is a great development for this team, because they need Cam playing at this level going into the playoffs if they're going to have the same kind of run that they had last year. I know I've said I want to see a combo guard at the deadline as campaign insurance. I still would love to see that, but what I would like to see first is campaign actually play like he has, and that insurance isn't as needed from that backup point guard position, but that you can maybe take some of Landry's minutes, give it to somebody that you bring in. But it's good to see that version of Cam back, and hopefully it's not a quick burst. Hopefully it's a long-term thing that we're seeing.
Yeah, Howie in the chat said Cam played great. I think he'll be fine. He's playing with lots of new bench players, just needs time. And we did talk about this a few shows ago. Just there are a lot of new faces on that second unit, and so he did have to figure out the chemistry with all of those new faces. And Gerald, you've said before, Monty has talked about that chemistry, especially between him and JaVale, needing to just kind of develop a little bit more so they could find their own rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, you look at JaVale McGee and he's a classic rim running guy, and you see how tall he is and how easily he finishes his alley-oops, and you think, okay, why isn't it easier for them to just develop that chemistry? All he has to do is throw it up. Not really. You have to navigate how you're being defended in the pick and roll. You have to build that chemistry, that trust, that rapport, just that ability to know what the other guy is going to do in a given situation. So it takes some time, especially when you're, you know, splitting minutes in the backcourt with Landry Shamet, a guy who early in the season, the Suns tried to get him on the ball a little bit more because they viewed him as more of a combo guard. Now I think you're seeing, you know, the way that Shamet struggled, they're trying to put him more in a position where he's comfortable just doing what he does best, which is shooting. Campaign's getting a little bit more of the ball handling. Him and JaVale McGee have had more time together, because we can't forget this either. McGee was filling in with the starters for a good portion there. So then Campaign kind of had to start from ground zero with another big in Jalen Smith and Frank Kaminsky. So it's these types of things take time, but I think Payne is kind of finding his groove a little bit more. I think Monty talking to him a little bit about being more composed has helped, especially recently. So these are all positive signs moving forward. And if you can get this campaign, you know, especially if he shows it over these next few weeks, maybe your trade deadline approach changes a little bit.
All right, now let's move on to the third quarter. In this one, we're going to talk about JaVale McGee filling in very nicely in DeAndre Ayton's absence. Man, he's just been such a good addition to this team. He had 10 points in that quarter, and he finished with 20 points and 7 rebounds total. We'll get into his shots here in just a minute, but just overall, what do you like about JaVale tonight?
He came out with energy, and you know, when DA goes out, that could have been a turning point in this game where, you know, if JaVale doesn't come out with energy, doesn't play, doesn't show that he can fill in offensively where DA left off, it could have changed the dynamics. But JaVale came in and was rolling hard to the rim, took care of everything. In that third quarter, he really dominated, and it was spectacular to watch. I love when we get locked in JaVale McGee, and him and Chris Paul and him and Devin Booker are exactly on the same page. It's excitement. It's you could just bottle that and live off that intensity for an entire, back half of a basketball season. That's how much fun it is to watch that. And I loved that in the third. It helped propel them to expand that lead and make it a no doubter going into that fourth quarter.
Yeah, just a huge response. And honestly, it probably single-handedly put Shane's third quarter betting against the Suns to bed, because he was so good. I mean, he just was catching lobs left and right and putting a lot of pressure on the rim. That's what the Suns love about him. And when they've got guards like Campaign and Chris Paul, being able to feed him that effectively and find him in those wide open spaces, it's literally a layup line, except it's a dunk line. So love to see that out of JaVale McGee. Really good response from him, because this team, losing DA in the first quarter, you need a big response from a guy like that. And that's exactly why they went out and got him. So good stuff from him. Really efficient too. He shot 9 for 10 for the entire game. So that's pretty good. The advanced stats say
that's what helps when you get lobs right at the rim or you tip ins. That percentage usually looks good. It's the old Mark West rule. When you look at, the all time field goal percentage leader in a season for the Suns, you go, Mark West. And then you go, oh, yeah, he shot within 4 feet of the basket. That was the only move he had. So.
All right, well, we're going to go even deeper into JaVale McGee, because it's time to take your shot, presented by Arizona Department of Health Services. COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov for a location near you.
Well, look, JaVale McGee was the booster in that third quarter. I mean, if you look at the shot chart from that third, I mean, you can see, like we were talking about, everything happens around that rim for JaVale McGee, and it was green. I mean, it looked like it was St. Patrick's Day around that rim in Detroit when it comes to JaVale McGee, and that was exactly what they needed in that third. I love what JaVale does, and it's amazing how many times his shot chart looks a lot like that in stretches in a quarter.
Yeah. He was efficient. He even hit down like a couple of floaters. I think he had one over Isaiah Stewart. That was pretty nice. But yeah, when JaVale McGee's playing like that, the Suns are, against a team like the Pistons, at least they're going to be just fine and hopefully afford DA the time he needs to get back and be healthy.
Well, and it's exactly why you sign him in the offseason, right? You look at it and you go, when DA leaves the court, we don't have a guy that can do this down low. Their centers last year and backup centers in Saric and Kaminsky were very much perimeter pass oriented, getting open shots. You didn't have the guy like DA that could be a rim runner, could do those things. So you address it, you get that guy. And that's, I think, a big part of why the Suns have played so well down the stretch of games, is because even if you don't have DA in there, you've got this guy that can do very similar things on both ends of the court. It was a smart move by James Jones, and today was just another example of that.
One more time, COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov for a location near you. All right, guys, are you ready? Because we're going to talk about the Devin Booker, Cade Cunningham debacle situation, if you will. So late in that third quarter, Devin Booker had a monster putback jam, and then it was followed directly by a major jam from Cade Cunningham. First, let's talk about Devin's.
He takes on not only the Pistons, but Jalen Smith in this. Like, can we roll? Let's roll that one more time just to appreciate that Devin Book said, I give no fucks, right? He goes, Jalen, not yours. This is mine. And then he flexes and is screaming at the crowd. And that is the ultimate Booker. Give me that Devin Booker every day of the week. I love when that stuff happens.
Whoever that fan was in the corner near the corner, he kept hollering in their direction. So whoever that was, they were not feeling good about themselves after that game. Cause I mean, Book went off, and he, like we said, he was even yelling at one of the fans, this is my city. And it probably was after that play, but yeah, when he's playing like that, when he's coming in for tip dunks like that, it's just not your night. You're not going to stop him, because he does have the propensity to like throw it down, but it doesn't happen all that often, or as, at least as often as we'd like to see. So the tip slam, he got up for that one too. Like that was a really cool dunk. And then for Cade to come down and throw one right back, I mean, that was something fun until the refs ruined it.
Are we 100% sure Book wasn't yelling at Detroit's mascot? I mean, how great would that have been if he was screaming at Detroit's mascot, which I think is a My Little Pony, that this is my city, and he's screaming it at the mascot. Who would have known that unlocking Superbook would be stuffed human beings in weird animal suits, you know?
I honestly didn't know the Pistons had a mascot. Apparently it is a horse named Hooper. I didn't know that.
My Little Pony.
I'm surprised that it's a horse, to be honest with you.
I don't think a car piston really gets people pumped up. You know, it's just a piston. Like, I don't know. Anyways.
So a lot of people in the chat have kind of alluded to this. And Manuel is the most recent one, so we'll use his comment. He said, I think that mascot woke up a monster, LOL. But for real, though, do you think all of this chatter around Devin Booker kind of just gave him a little extra fuel to add to the fire and kind of has just like been a spark for him?
Oh, I think when he was talking about, I read social media, I love it, you know, and his comment about Mamba mentality and everything, I think that was him tipping his hat to what's kind of motivated him. Yeah, the mascot thing was all well and good, but the fact that there was such a visceral reaction to it and some of the things that were said, I think that lit the fire. And he's like, all right, time to show these people again who I am and what I'm about.
I mean, the analytics say ever since the beef with the mascot, he's averaging 32.5 points on better than 50% shooting. So I don't, you tell me. It seems like all of the hate and the backlash that he's gotten over something so stupid, like, you know, the mascot beef, and then his comments about I'm not Kobe Bryant, which I felt like were pretty spot on. It's not like he's been the one comparing himself to Kobe Bryant. And I loved what he said about people saying Mamba mentality from their mama's house. Got more hate for that too. So I think he's well aware of it. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to drop 30 on the Pistons. I'm going to drop 35 on the Pacers. I'm just going to keep dropping 30 until people shut up. Like, I'm cool with it.
Like Endel said in the chat, he's embracing the inner villain. And like we talked about, embrace the heel. Be that Hollywood Hulk Hogan of the NBA right now. I think he gets it. I think he's just like, you know what? I don't care what you think of me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this, and I'll dunk on my own teammates if I have to prove it.
So Manuel said, my experience in watching contending teams is that the players need some, the players need some extra juice to keep them interested in the regular season. That red dinosaur killed Krillin and unleashed the super Armani. I mean, I get it, because we've been talking a lot how it seems like this team is just ready for the playoffs. So maybe this was just a fun little storyline to take us on for a few weeks to add a little spark. Maybe that's what it was.
We needed Barney the dinosaur to take this season to another level. All right.
That's how petty and competitive we are. We took a Barney the mascot.
Okay, but that's also how competitive Devin is, that he would let something like that add more fuel to his fire. So I believe it.
I saw a stuffed dinosaur and I took that personally.
And you know, Chris Paul is just standing there whispering in his ear, like, you hear what that Raptor said about you, man? You hear what those fans are saying about you, man?
You reading this Twitter stuff? He's like, he's texting Devin. Look at this tweet, Devin. Okay. Join me, Devin.
I love that. Okay. So Devin got to celebrate a little bit after his dunk, but then Cade got called for his second tech of the game and got tossed. So let's have a conversation about this, because I don't think you could very definitively say one way or the other of whether or not he was pointing at Devin or he was pointing at his bench. I think EJ was kind of alluding to this on, or he actually just straight out said it on the broadcast as well. You can't know for sure who he was pointing to. Even if he was pointing at Devin, though, I don't care. I don't think he should have gotten a tech for that. He kind of just killed, like, it was great for the Suns, obviously, because the Suns put it away early. We're able to, like, call it a day, but it was a fun matchup watching Cade and Devin kind of go back and forth with each other. And that got taken from us over something as lame as celebrating a dunk.
Look, I can't accept that we're going to rip on the refs when they don't give Devin respect. And then when they do give Devin respect, we're like, they shouldn't have done that. We really needed Cade Cunningham to keep this interesting. That to me was totally, we're showing respect to Devin Booker because if he's pointing at him, he's out. All right. That's the way I took that today.
All right. Well,
he was pointing at the bench though. He was pointing at the Pistons bench. The pool report from the referees after the game said that they interpreted it as he was pointing to a specific player, whether that was Jalen Smith, who he actually dunked on, or Devin Booker. I don't think they cared. Remember that Sean Kemp dunk from the 90s where he like scoops the ball from below his waist, dunks on the guy, and then double finger points at him. He didn't get a tech for that. So like, why are we giving Cade Cunningham especially because it's his second tech. Like if it was his first tech, okay, I wouldn't mind as much. But if you're a ref, you got to bear that in mind. Like this is a fucking 11-31 Pistons team or whatever the hell they are. Like they need something, give them something. And they have a player who's actually exciting them for once against one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NBA. And you're going to throw him out for this isn't the NFL. Like don't make the NBA the NFL. Let guys celebrate and taunt. And as long as it doesn't cross the line, I'm cool with it.
First off, do we really expect refs to have good enough eyesight to distinguish if he was pointing at a player or at the bench? No.
That's fair.
No.
Well, hello in the comments said the Pistons commentary said that he was pointing at Jalen Smith. So if you've got Pistons people thinking he's pointing at Jalen, Suns people thinking he's pointing at Devin, and then all of the people being like, well, maybe it was just the bench in general. I don't know.
Look, Sticks deserve to get pointed at, right? He took back-to-back L's. He got dunked on by Devin. And then Cade came around and said, oh, that looks fun. I'm going to take my chance now. So, you know what? At that point, you deserve to get pointed at. But I get it. Would I have preferred Cade to still be in the game because we may have gotten more dunk-offs from him and Devin? Yeah, of course. But you know what? Refs make dumb calls both ways. We've talked about this. So, you know, it is what it is. At least it wasn't like the NFL refs and the Bengals game and it cost a team a shot to move forward in the playoffs. This was a bad Pistons team who was going to lose even if Cade Cunningham was out there.
Well, to your point, Espo, and Westville in the comments said the same thing. They said Booker's starting to get superstar treatment since the finals. So if it is a respect to Devin kind of a thing, then I really do appreciate that because he definitely deserves it. But at the end of the day, I feel like players should be allowed to have a little bit of a celebration and they should be allowed to flex on other people if they have really amazing plays. There is a line, obviously, if you go too far, then sure, tee them up, but just a little bit of a celebration. It's like, we're all doing that to each other at home, so let them do it out there on the court since they're the ones who actually did the thing.
No, I agree on that. It's not like he walked up to Devin or Sticks and slapped him in the face and said, yo mama or something. Like, he pointed, and I get that. And to your point, Gerald, that was a great point about the Sean Kemp dunk on, I believe it was Alton Lister, a former Sun Devil. But like, if that doesn't get you thrown out, the league needs to let a little of that, because that was half the fun of how we fell in love with basketball in the 90s was there was an attitude about it. There was a, hey, I'm going to dunk on you. I might step over you. I mean, Allen Iverson's remembered for the step over on Tyronn Lue. I mean, does that get you thrown out now? I don't know. Give these guys a little swagger, but when it happens to the opponent of my team, I don't care that much. So.
I mean, we don't even know that he was taunting him, really. He could have just been pointing down low like, hey, you're a five. Go be a five. You're a five.
Stand tall. Stand tall and don't let that happen for me or your teammate. He was giving him advice.
Brittany says, LOL, Sticks got the celebration tech early this season. So this emoji, the shrug emoji. Yes, that's true. But at least it was just his first one.
And that was soft too.
It was a little bit. Yeah.
Maybe Cade was pointing at the Suns bench going, that's where I want to be. Like, maybe we've come so far that players in the middle of their celebration are saying, send me to Phoenix.
Cade Cunningham to Phoenix confirmed on the PHNX postgame show.
Complete random rumors with no truth that are facetious, which will be around the internet within a matter of minutes.
I would love that, though. I would not be mad at that at all. And then the fourth quarter, of course, the Suns just put this one away. Gerald, you shared a really cool stat with us at the start of the game. The Suns are 16-0 when holding their opponents to under 100 this season, and 28-0 when holding their opponents to under 110. So tonight, or today, with that 108-135 win, they are now 29-0 when holding their opponents under 110 this season. So
defense wins championships. This team, their offense has been up and down over the last few weeks, but what's been able to help them get through having so many guys out is their defense. They're one of the top defenses in the NBA. Yeah, the Pistons scored 108, and they're one of the worst offenses, but this was a really up-tempo game, and like we talked about, that first quarter, there was just some elite shot-making on both sides. So they really were able to lock in after that first quarter, and when this team plays defense, they're going to win a lot of games. So it's incredible that, because you think about the Suns historically, one of their best defenses during the 7 seconds or less Suns was like ranked 15th or something like that. So this is incredible the way that the culture and the mentality has kind of changed over the years here. This is the best defensive team the Suns have ever had. So keep rolling with it, keep playing defense, and you're going to get a lot of W's.
Yeah, this is the mentality of CP3 and Devin Booker, and I think more Devin Booker as we go along in this, and that's exactly what we've always wanted to see. I mean, in the dark days, you'd say, hey, if I could have 12, 15 guys like with Devin Booker's mindset, not necessarily his skill set, but his mindset, we'd be in a much better place. Well, welcome to the much better place.
Sorry, Lynn, should we bring up the clip of Devin Booker playing defense since we're talking about it?
Yep, we're going to. But first, we're going to name Devin our draft king. King of the game because he finished with 30 points, 4 assists, 11 of 18 from the field. And he recorded his 9th 20-point half of the season today. The Suns are now 9-0 when Book has a 20-point half. The last time he did this was, Friday in Indianapolis. So it's a thing
It doesn't matter how early it is. Devin Booker will eviscerate you. Just phenomenal performance from him.
Apparently, he nailed this crown into his head like it's a yard sign too. I don't know what's going on with that, but we'll give it its due. Okay, crown placement, Shane. Okay, crown placement. So.
But yes, Gerald, to your point, Devin is finally getting a little bit of love from the mainstream media for his defensive efforts this year. So our tweet of the night comes from Chris Hansen, who quote tweeted a video shared by NBA.com advanced stats writer John Schumann of Devin Booker's defense with the words, "Devin Booker defensive highlights have now gone mainstream. Look how far we've come." Because John Schumann shared that highlight of him playing defense on Cade Cunningham and said, "Man, look at Devin working early on a Sunday. Got me fired up."
Well, I love that Book wanted this assignment too, because he went to Monty and said, "Yeah, let me have it. Like, I know Chris can do this. I know Mikhail can do this, but I want it." And he came out and he showed that he could do it. And I love that, because this is different than early Devin Booker. Early Devin Booker in his career was not doing this. This is a big shift for him as well, and I love seeing it, especially on an early Sunday morning. He made it look easy, like Sunday morning, if you will.
Oh, okay. We got a Commodores reference. I love it. It was like, Cade got 21 points before he got ejected in the third, so he had a nice game, but like Book was working hard on defense, and that possession in particular, he did a really nice job. And it's just those little things that people are starting to notice is really cool, because, for most of his career, it's been, oh, Devin Booker doesn't try on defense. Devin Booker sucks on defense. Like, he's putting up empty numbers on offense and not playing the other end. But now that he's actually on a winning team and has a reason to care about the defensive end, like, you're not going to bust your ass for 82 games on both ends of the floor when you're having to do everything on offense and play with a bunch of G League guys on defense. He has talent around him now. He has a capable defense, and winning is the most important thing to him. So we're seeing that with the way that his scoring numbers have kind of gone down over the last 2 years. His assist numbers have kind of gone down. and his defense has gone up. He's doing the things that the Suns need to win, not the things that he did when they were bad and he did just by necessity.
Well, you make a great point too, Gerald. When you have team defense behind you that you know that that effort you're going to put forth won't be for naught because the other four guys are going to blow their assignment, that changes the mentality. He trusts the other four guys behind him on that court to do what they're supposed to do, to make the right moves in terms of defensive rotations. So it's easier for him to put forth that effort because he knows it's going to be rewarded with what they need.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice that just everybody else gets to see it now, because we've seen it in Phoenix over the last couple of years. And typically those types of narratives they're like a year late in shifting. Like, we see it with all-star selections all the time. Guys are noted as all-stars a year after they probably should have been. But like with Book, and we've seen that with Book too, but like with defense, especially if you're labeled as a bad defender, it typically takes a year for the rest of the pack to kind of catch up and realize that narrative has shifted. So it's nice that the outside world, the national media, is sharing clips like this, because and Rudy Gobert, someone mentioned in the comments, I think Brittany mentioned in the comments, that Rudy Gobert's comments kind of subtweeting Donovan Mitchell the other day, talking about how Devin Booker tries hard on defense. Like, those types of things really do help. It's cool that other people are catching on.
Wait, I missed that. What happened with that?
So Rudy Gobert, I think it was in the Salt Lake Tribune, said something about, like, you look at other teams, like winning teams, and you've got Devin Booker trying really hard on defense and running around screens and all kinds of, basically a subtle shot at Donovan Mitchell for not trying as hard on defense as he needs to. And it's interesting how that narrative has shifted, because a couple of years ago it was, oh, Donovan Mitchell is a good team defender because the Jazz defense is good. Devin Booker doesn't care about defense. And now it's like totally flipped. So that's
Me started on this subject.
How the turntables.
I still do not understand how Donovan Mitchell is considered a better player by many than Devin Booker. I still think it's just pure ignorance at this point.
Well, like Gerald said, sometimes it just takes a really long time for people to catch up and get caught up with the party.
That Gerald head shake makes me feel like I may have slightly offended him. Are you in that camp, wait, Gerald?
Wait, what did I say? What did I do?
My head? You gave me a little head nod. Not really a yes, you're correct, but more of a I'm going to just nod so I don't get in an argument here. Is that what that was?
That was an agreement, like, yeah, he's right.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll let it slide then.
I'm not as good as acting as Pete Davidson, apparently, but
no, you're better. You're actually better.
Oh, no.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break because the NFL playoffs are here and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is kicking things off with a huge offer. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any wildcard team to win their game. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team is victorious. If you are not a new customer, you can still get in on the action of the divisional round with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now if you haven't, and use the promo code PHNX, and you'll get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 to win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code PHNX this wildcard weekend at DraftKings Sportsbook. 21 and older only, Arizona only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. New customers only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Mike B., I'm really sorry. You told us about your parlay that you had planned earlier for tonight's game, and I believe it missed on the first field goal.
Yep.
So I'm really sorry about that. That's a major bummer.
Yeah, he got burned by Crowder's Cash Club. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But then Cade got thrown out, so he got screwed by the refs anyways, even if Crowder had hit the first shot.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. At least Devin had
DA left with the ankle sprain, so he didn't get his double-double.
Right, that too.
So you know what? I'm not sorry about Crowder's Cash Club. You're screwed anyways. So.
But the Crowder's Cash Club is what started the snowball that turned into an avalanche of why his parlay didn't hit. Man, I'm blaming you on this one, Espo. It's
look,
your fault.
Look, I make suggestions. If you take them, that's on you. I mean, I'm in a walk-in closet wearing bright orange glasses. Like, you want to trust this? That's up to you.
All right, gentlemen. Is there anyone or anything else that you would like to highlight before we let everyone go to enjoy their late afternoon, evening, Sunday?
You know, based on today's play, Jalen Smith may not be a four or a five in this league, but, you know, it was a rough day out there for Jalen. Sorry. Didn't mean for you to catch strays here, but it was just, Jaylen. It was not pretty. You need to bounce back in San Antonio, all right?
Yeah, we're hoping if Ayton does have to miss time, the one potential silver lining is Jalen Smith will probably be playing the five again instead of the four, especially if Cam Johnson is close to returning. That would be a nice little extra boost to his trade value approaching the trade deadline. So we'll see what happens, but just something to keep an eye on. And also, you know, we mentioned campaign, but Landry Shamet, he wasn't great tonight, but he did get to the free throw line 7 times. So if he's able to just manufacture points like that, that's always helpful.
My little nugget of information is that Jay Crowder matched his season high for rebounds today in Detroit. So that's his second consecutive game with 10 or more rebounds. And it marks the third time in his career that he's posted back-to-back games with 10 or more rebounds. And the first time since the 18-19 season. So shout out to Jay for that stat today and getting it done down low.
Yeah, Devin wasn't the only one that took that Toronto game personally. I mean, I think the Suns as a whole realized rebounding was a massive problem there that almost cost them the game, and they've come in and they've taken care of it. I mean, even I gave Jalen some crap there, but he had 7 boards. I mean, he had 12 the other night. Offensively, he hasn't done a whole lot, but on the boards, he stepped up and helped fill that gap when necessary. So this whole Suns team realized that rebounding was going to be a key, and they've come out and proven, you know what, we understand when we screw up, and we're going to take advantage of being better at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jay Crowder, just a testament to his professionalism, because Monty had said after that Toronto game, they spent a good 48 hours talking about the rebounding thing. So for him to come out here as this undersized small ball four, grab double-digit boards in back-to-back games, he took that message to heart for sure.
Hey, Brittany brings up an interesting point. Our friend Kellen Olson apparently said that Book had 40 to 50 family members out there, so no wonder Armani Mode came out. Do you think that has a major impact on these athletes when they know that they have family like that, that may not see them on a regular basis out there?
Maybe a little bit, just because you have people in the stands that you know you're playing for and that, you know, you're going to get to see and go talk to after the game. Detroit is always, every single time I've ever been to Detroit with the Suns team, it has been a literal party after the games. Even back when the Suns were bad and they would lose, there were at least, especially when Josh Jackson was on the team, when it was Josh and Devin, it was at least 150 people in the friends and family section at the end of the night waiting to just see both of those players. And like Helen said, 40 to 50 people there for Devin tonight. So he's got a huge, huge friends and family section there in Detroit.
Yeah, and I think that does help, because like we were talking about, guys needing or looking for constant little motivation during a long regular season. I think having your family there is like a positive type of motivation. Like, okay, cool. This is something to get up for. This is something to be excited for.
Yeah, I remember Goran Dragic in his time here. He had just had his son in the first game. His son was in the stands. He dropped a career high. I think it was like 36. And those kind of things, I always just wonder, because, you know, we really don't understand that. Like, I'm not going to have a better show if I know family members are watching. I'm not going to perform better at my desk, you know, because I have my family around me. It's nice. I'm not saying it's not nice, but like if I have 40 family members standing around me, I'd probably be more like, what the hell is going on? But for these athletes, it always just made me wonder, does it give you some kind of different mentality when you know that you have that kind of different support in the crowd? For you?
Patrick in the comments, kind of same thing as you said, Espo. They said that I'd be worried it put extra pressure on Book with all the family there. So I'm glad it was the opposite. I just think that sometimes with these professional athletes, they're so used to pressure that a few extra eyeballs or people maybe whose opinions they actually care about, I don't know if it adds pressure. I think it adds just more oomph because at the end of the day, those people might be the ones that Devin will sit down and listen to, like CP3 with his son. If his son texts him and is like, hey, this is what you need to work on, Chris Paul is going to take that text message more seriously than he would 20,000 people saying the same thing on social media. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's interesting though.
Oh, hold on. Hello. I did not say F them families. Let's make that clear. Let's not misquote me in here. I get myself in enough trouble. I don't need your help. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's great.
Oh my God. That'd be so... All right, gentlemen, anything else before we say goodbye for today?
Nope, we'll be back tomorrow with a second night of a back-to-back.
One other thing. Hold on a second. I was just thinking about this. The scene, okay, the scenes, you know, when they take those video of the cities that they're in and they're mm-hmm. driving through and you're like, oh, wow, I'd like to visit that city. You watch that Detroit one, you go, why does anybody live here?
I like Detroit, so I'm not on your team on this. And I always enjoyed going to Detroit. I did.
Has Lindsay ever said, I really hated going to that city?
Yes. Indianapolis. Hated being there. Sucked. Never want to go again.
But Detroit, you know what? I want to go to the capital of home foreclosure and nothingness. Yes, please. Detroit. I love going to Detroit. What are you, like, addicted to Little Caesar's Pizza?
No, like, they just have some really cute, like, local shops and, like, cool outdoor scenery things. And, like, I don't know. It was Christmas time, though, every time I was there. So maybe that's what added a little extra to it. And it was like cold and snowing, like they had an outdoor skating rink. I don't know.
You're not selling me on this.
Plus, Little Caesars Arena has the best media food in the entire league, hands down.
Really? Like,
hands down. So they have every single thing that you can get from Little Caesars available. So like the pizza, like the cheesy sticks, all that, like this. I think they have like a cinnamon bread thing too. And then they have like a buffet kind of like style, like it's usually two different options that you can get for dinner, and then they have a really solid dessert stable. So media food wise that arena knows what they're doing. I'm just saying,
again, to the chat, I did not say I hate Little Caesars. I actually like Little Caesars. It was just a point about Detroit, people. All right, jeez.
Espo, you're just wrong on this one. Okay, just take that out. Oh.
God. You people.
Oh, I really liked being there. So I don't know. I'm not with you on this one as well. I'm sorry. You're on your own. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in. We really appreciate it. As Gerald said, we will be back tomorrow with a pregame show beginning at 6 p.m. on our YouTube channel before the Suns take on the Spurs. Don't forget, if you are watching on YouTube, hit that like button and subscribe. If you are listening wherever you get your podcast, be sure to rate, review, and also subscribe. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Gerald on Twitter at Gerald Bourget. And you can follow Espo on Twitter at Espo. Espo, take us home.
Just remember, I don't hate everybody in the chat, only certain people. F certain people in the chat. Oh, boy.